Hello, this is Pastor Pete Beck III with LifeNet in Burlington, North Carolina. Welcome to today's podcast, which is Chapter 33 of the Discipleship Foundation series and is entitled Lordship Matters, Water Baptism. I'm going to begin by reading Matthew 28, 18 through 20, which is the Great Commission. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given complete authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That's from the New Living Translation. The Great Commission instructs the church to go and make disciples. The two subpoints our Lord attached were water baptism and two, teaching them to obey his commands. Since baptism is the first command for disciples, it is a top priority and not to be skipped over or taken lightly. It is often the first way any new disciple can show his commitment to the Lord. The church is commissioned to teach its disciples the necessity of obedience in all things, especially water baptism. Water baptism is a public declaration that we belong to the Lord and a pledge to serve him. When a person accepts the gospel invitation to be reconciled to God through faith in Christ and his finished work on the cross, he or she is born again and indwelled by the Holy Spirit. The third person of the Trinity sets up a permanent residence in our lives. He is the resident Christian, the only one who can live the Christian life. He is our helper, the one who ministers grace to us, enabling us to be assured, bold, and obedient followers of Christ. The Bible says that we're sealed by this same Spirit. God marks us in an invisible way as belonging to him. According to Paul, this spiritual seal is proof that God will complete the work of salvation in us, which he has begun. 2 Corinthians 1, 21 and 22 says, Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us is God, who also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge. This seal is invisible and must be spiritually discerned, but our faith is meant to be a public proclamation, not something hidden. When we submit to a public water baptism before witnesses, we boldly declare that we belong to Jesus Christ and our Lord, our lives are his. Water baptism is our public seal, confirming God's invisible seal, which signifies our union with and allegiance to Christ. We declare that our old way of living for sin and our own desires is finished, dead and buried, and that the rest of our natural lives will be lived for our Lord in the power of his resurrection as the Holy Spirit enables us. Paul wrote the following regarding water baptism, and this is from Colossians 2, 9 through 15. All of God lives in Christ's body, and God has made you, plural, complete in Christ. Christ is in charge of every ruler and authority. In him you also were circumcised. It was not a circumcision performed by human hands, but it was a removal of the corrupt nature and the circumcision performed by Christ. This happened when you were placed in the tomb with Christ through baptism. In baptism, you were also brought back to life with Christ through faith and the power of God, who brought him back to life. You were once dead because of your failures and your uncircumcised, corrupt nature, but God made you alive with Christ when he forgave all our failures. He did this by erasing the charges that were brought against us by the written laws God had established. He took the charges away by nailing them to the cross. He stripped the rulers and authorities of their power and made a public spectacle of them as he celebrated his victory in Christ. That was from God's Word translation. There are three major baptisms mentioned in Scripture. Baptism into the body of Christ, baptism into water, and baptism in the Holy Spirit. Each of these baptisms is different, having a different baptizer, a different subject, a different medium into which the subject is baptized, and a different purpose. The baptism into the body of Christ takes place at the new birth. The Holy Spirit takes the new believer and immerses him or her into Christ's body, the church. This is when we are sealed in Christ by the indwelling Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, "For by one Spirit you were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit." New American Standard Bible. Water baptism is the outward demonstration of the inward baptism into Christ's body, with the added dimension of its being a public declaration of allegiance to Christ. In water baptism, another believer baptizes a new convert or someone who finally realizes how important it is into water. Water baptism is an object lesson that our old sin nature and old way of life are dead and buried in union with Christ's death, and that we are now risen in union with Christ's resurrection to live the rest of our lives on earth for him. Romans 6, 3 and 4 reads, "Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life." New American Standard Bible. The third baptism is the baptism into the Holy Spirit. In this one, Jesus himself baptizes the believer into the Holy Spirit to empower him or her for service. We will have much more to say about this one later. Water baptism does not justify a person before God. Only the blood of Jesus can do that. Rather, water baptism is the obedient and proper response of a grateful and submitted heart to his or her Lord. 1 Peter 3:21 says, "Corresponding to that, baptism now saves you, not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ." New American Standard Bible. Salvation in this verse should not be confused with the new birth or justification. Rather, we are saved in the sense of being set apart to God by obeying the Lord in this crucial public declaration of faith. Just as we are likewise saved in this fashion every time we obey the Lord, but especially when our obedience results in a bold proclamation of faith in Christ. In some cultures where Christianity is strongly resisted, such as radical Islamic states, a person can quietly confess Christ at times without repercussion, but when he or she is baptized in water, it is an entirely different matter. Muslims understand that water baptism equates to a radical declaration of allegiance to the Lord Jesus. No person should take water baptism casually, as if it were merely a step in joining a church. It is a declaration of war upon Satan's kingdom and a commitment to unflinchingly testify to the gospel even unto death. As such, water baptism should only be administered by those believers who fully understand what they're doing. It should be a time of celebration and soberness, a celebration that we're taking a big step in our faith journey with the Lord, and soberness because we understand that we are truly identifying ourselves with Christ's death and saying we are willing even to die for our Lord. Some churches believe that water baptism is what saves us. They confuse the baptism into the body of Christ, which happens at the new birth, with water baptism. This is just one example of why it is so important for us to understand the teaching regarding spirit, soul, and body, which is another chapter in this series. Other groups make a big deal out of whose name we baptize in. Jesus told us to baptize in the name of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit. The early disciples baptized into the name of Jesus. There is a group which believes that Jesus is the only name into which we must be baptized for it to be valid. This group does not hold a Trinitarian view. Instead, they believe the one God appears in various modes, sometimes as Father, sometimes as Son, and at other times as the Spirit. This heresy is called modalism. The scriptures clearly teach that God is one, but that Father, Son, and Spirit are all God and distinct from one another. Hence, we have the mysterious doctrine of the Trinity that is clearly above our comprehension. It is for us to acknowledge, but not completely understand, any more than we completely understand how we are composed of body, soul, and spirit, a trinity of its own. There are times when all three persons are present at once, such as at the baptism of Christ by John the Baptist in Matthew 3, 16 and 17. If the Father and the Son are the same, to whom was Jesus praying and calling his Father? To whom was Jesus being obedient when he went to the cross? The Spirit was sent by Jesus to empower us to be his witnesses after Jesus ascended into heaven. The Spirit's presence in our lives is proof that Jesus is the Lord seated at the right hand of God. I recommend using the Trinitarian formula that Jesus gave us in the Great Commission, but it is also proper to baptize in the name of Jesus, as did the first apostles. Thank you for listening, and God bless you.